Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It was a time of love and a time of hate. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down.
When we die and they die, then soon we're going to sit at a table and talk about retired. We want some of this earth, or we'll tear this goddamn country up.
And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round. You won the first round, Mr. Prosecutor, but don't cut your gloves off. But the fight's not over. Justice will come to Ferguson.
The only day justice will come to Ferguson is when haters like he are shut off from the microphones of hate. Welcome to the Savage Nation. America is talking about the hate in the streets being generated by the White House, the Justice Department, and the Communist Party USA. Make no mistake about it. This has been orchestrated from the get-go. And these haters, like Farrakhan and Sharpton, are cashing in on it by stirring up the masses. And that's why I wrote this little couplet for you. It was a time of love and a time of hate. I began with a love song. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down. I've been waiting for this show for 4 days now. It's not to say I don't like time off, but truthfully, I don't think I'll ever take another day off as long as I'm on the radio. I mean, I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, but everyone knows what happens around Thanksgiving. You can't wait to go back to work on Monday. And then there's the stress of family life. God, we love our families. But every time families get together in these sort of forced, pleasant, pilgrim-like holidays that don't really exist, people have all their resentments come up, and they get into arguments, and all the old stuff comes up after a few drinks. And someone goes home bruised. So I was in the elevator of my apartment building yesterday in San Francisco. And as I came out of my apartment, it was late in the day. All I did was sigh and go, oh, just a sigh. And a stranger was in the elevator. Nice looking man, maybe in his late 30s. Good looking guy. And he said, yeah, I agree with you. You know, I do a lot of stuff between four floors. I mean, between four or five floors, I have whole conversations with strangers. So all I do is go, and let some air out, right? And the guy goes, oh, I agree with you. So I said, rough weekend? And he says, I can't wait for the schedule to return on Monday. So as he got out of the elevator, I said, well, we all love our families. He turned to me and said, sometimes. Now, I'm not saying anything here, but I'm saying that this thing with the Ferguson is ripping this family called America to pieces. And the very same gutter rat, Al Sharpton, seems to be at the center of it all. This gutter rat, Al Sharpton, who should have been arrested a long time ago just for his role in the Tawana Brawley case, stiffing the IRS, egging the crowd on in the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire. This man has gotten away with virtual arson and murder, in my opinion. And yet he's been rewarded. And now he's being rewarded again and again and again. And so I ask you, how much longer can this country take such hatred? How much longer can this country go on with this level of hatred? So I pulled a bunch of stories over the weekend, and I'm going to read you the headlines of the stories that caught my attention that I noted down. And you can comment on some of these if you have a good comment. Try to get through the screener at 855-400-7282. Here are the stories that caught my eye. I'll just give you the headlines over the weekend that I kept sending to my loyal producer up in Oregon, poor Doug, who recorded them all for me. Here it is. How Obama blatantly disregards the law, by Paul Sperry of the New York Post. Next one was CNN is lying when they say Ferguson protests were peaceful. Naomi Schaefer Riley, New York Post. Justice's Way limits of free speech over the internet. MyWay.com. Mind control from the leftists. All whites are really racist, even if they're not racist. That's right. The white college professor communists on tenure have now come up with a new one. First, they invented a thing called white privilege to make their white children feel guilty. Now they've invented a new one saying there's racism without racists. In other words, even if you're not a racist, you're guilty anyway. See, what that is, it's called mind control. Read Animal Farm. Read Brave New World. Here's a headline for Obama and the Pentagon, an uneasy relationship. It was an interesting article from the Associated Press. I rewrote the headline as Obama micromanages like a true Marxist, which he does. He has centralized power to the extent that he's alienated everyone in the Pentagon. And he's gotten rid of all of the higher-ranking officers, knowing that they would probably stand up to him. And knowing, like any good dictator, like whether it was an ancient Roman dictator or others, who purged their own military, or Hitler who purged the military, or Stalin who purged the Russian military. He knows to get rid of those generals who might stand up. And I think he's getting ready for things you can't even imagine. You think that Obama is through because he just got smashed at the polling booths. You think he's giving up. I'm warning you that this man is just warming up for the final assault on every one of our freedoms and institutions in this country. He is the most dangerous, divisive man in American history. I don't think we've ever faced a foreign enemy who has done as much damage to the social fabric as this country, as this man in the White House. That's my opinion. And it's only just begun. Here's an article from McClatchy News Services, not known to be a liberal outlet. It says, Obama unleashed, defies GOP election wins, moves in opposite direction. Even the liberals at AP and McClatchy are starting to see a little pattern here. Here's another one for those of you into fiscal things. Ponzi scheme. Treasury issues $1 trillion in new debt in 8 weeks to pay old debt. CNS News. Did you hear that one? They issued $1 trillion in new debt in 8 weeks to pay off the old debt in order to keep the welfare machine going. Here's another one from Newsmax. Republican lawmaker's aide draws ire for scolding Obama's daughters. She wrote a post telling the girls to try to show a little class, at least respect the part you play. And she put it on her Facebook account, and she said the daughters looked bored while attending a public event with their father on Wednesday. And as a result, the Republican lawmaker's aide was fired. Now, what about all of the slimy comments about Sarah Palin and Sarah Palin's children? What about the slimy comments about Bush's daughters? Apparently, that didn't result in anyone getting fired. Instead, they got jobs on MSNBC. Here's another headline I found interesting. Russian doctor rebellion causes headache for Putin. That's an interesting story. And it's tied right into the welfare state. And they talk about a doctor who spent a decade in medical research in Russia, and then another 10 years in the United States working at top hospitals and research companies. But despite his expertise, the doctor was given an ultimatum from the Moscow hospital where he works. Either leave the hospital or stay on as a lowly hospital attendant. Why are they eliminating doctors in Russia? It's part of a reform in which at least 28 Moscow hospitals are to be closed and up to 10,000 medical staff fired. An overhaul that officials said is needed to modernize a decrepit Soviet-era health system. What is this about? It means that there were too many doctors hired in the old Soviet communist system. Does it sound familiar now with a bloated federal government? The difference is in Russia, they're actually shrinking some of the federal programs, while the con man in the White House is actually increasing them. Finally, this story caught my eye. UC Davis economics professor says there is no American dream. Tell that to the lunatic who wrote this himself. I guarantee you he's gone beyond his father. And I can tell you this. I am the American dream. I am an immigrant son. My father came over here in steerage. He died young. My grandfather died young. I've risen to where I am by working since I'm 6 years old. And my son has exceeded me by working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So don't tell me there's no American dream. If you don't have the American dream, don't blame somebody else. Finally, there was an article there was one more. Al-Qaeda plot to blow up 5 passenger planes in a Christmas spectacular. Now, why should they not crack down on the Muslim population if they know that it's Muslims who are planning to do this? So let me conclude this opening discussion with a blog comment by a man I don't know who wrote this about the Muslims planning to blow up five airliners over Christmas. And he goes by the name of DelboyAnco770. And here's what he wrote. He said, a message to the Catholics of Northern Ireland. During the Troubles, we interned you without trial, subjected you to harsh interrogation techniques, and raided your homes. We also abridged your civil rights, having trials in front of a single judge in secret. We closely monitored you and restricted your movements, and we certainly did not tolerate open speeches supporting the IRA cause. The organizers were all rounded up and detained indefinitely. The IRA was largely made ineffective because of informers who had grown weary of bloodshed with no end in sight. Please accept my apologies. England now faces a worse enemy with Islam, yet we give them all the benefits that were denied to you, the Irish. These new terrorists and their supporters enjoy a wall of silence from their own community and inaction from the government and police because of fear. No one comes forward from Muslim communities to help the authorities prevent mass calamity. The Muslim leaders speak openly of hatred in the street, and we do nothing. Furthermore, while you endured anti-Irish jokes constantly, we dare not say a word against the Muslims, as is considered racism, and we do go to jail, while they are left untouched if they do the same to us. We are even afraid to come forward upon seeing something suspicious, also because of the fear of being called a racist. By comparison, the Irish people were treated appallingly. Can you imagine in 1973 protesting openly, kill all those that are against the IRA? Our new Muslim enemies sport banners saying behead all those that insult Islam. And then they protest when we bury our own fallen soldiers. Nothing happens to them. You, the Irish, would have been in jail. This war can never be won. We have become a nation of sheeple, with a government of wolves, unafraid of us, the law-abiding citizen. They have strangled us with liberal values of political correctness, yet they are impotent and weak in front of a real enemy, more interested in the bogus threat of climate change. England is dead, he wrote. It's one of the finest blog comments I've ever seen, and it reminds me of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Because I will tell you as I sit here, what he says about England is exactly what's going on here. The Obamas laid the groundwork for Ferguson. You look back on this entire campaign, and you will see the president's hands on every step of the way, on it every step of the way. They could have stopped this months ago, but they didn't stop the outside agitators. They told the National Guard to stand down and let the city burn down because they were afraid the National Guardsmen would be arrested by Eric Holder, who would say that they committed a racist act by stopping the burning and the looting. You see, this federal government wants these troubles. The federal government is planning things you could hardly imagine. Many people see who they are. Many people know that they're hardline communist revolutionaries who have been intent for years on bringing about what they have currently achieved in this nation, which is race against race, sex against sex, person against person, religion against religion, and they've only just gotten started. This is the Savage Nation. I had hoped to turn this into an all-love show, but unfortunately, it was a time of love and a time of hate. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down. And on that note, I'll take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation Monday edition. We're watching the deterioration of race relations in the nation on an unprecedented scale since the 1960s, and it's all because of the administration. They have been pushing this and pushing this and pushing this through the summer. They were egging on the mobs. They were meeting with these goon squads, having them in the White House saying, hold, stay the course. What did that mean? Day after the election, Obama meets with one of the commie leaders of the protest movement from Ferguson, one of the illegitimate, and says to him, stay the course. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is he wants unrest in the streets. He wants the police deballed. He wants them turned into capons. You don't know this, but Obama met today with that vile Al Sharpton and other so-called civil rights leaders, and he came away with this. He wants to spend almost a third, how much? $263 million. His answer, again, is to tax people to death, to increase the use of body cameras by police. Now, which one of his friends make the body cameras, I wonder? Which one of his friends is going to hold a training on how to use the body cameras? But that's not all. Your president also plans to sign a new executive order to create a so-called task force on 21st century policing. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, a task force on 21st century policing? Tell me what that means. What they're doing is they're trying to constrain the wolfhounds so the wolves can continue to burn and to loot. It's getting worse by the day. I wish I didn't have to say this to you, but we are not through the woods yet. Yes, we went to the polls and voted, but this hard-lined revolutionary communist regime treated the election as though it occurred in another country. They said it had nothing to do with us. That's not our constituency. It was mainly whites. They don't count for us. We never expected them to vote for us. So what do we care what they say? They said, wait till 2016 when we stir up the masses and get them to vote. When we flood America with 30 million illegal aliens and get foreigners to vote. Then you white people will find out what America really is when we have our president hand selected to bring it all down, girl. That's the subtext of the message. It's one man's interpretation. The phone number is 855-407-282. Get ready for a rough whitewater raft right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Time of hate. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down. Yesterday was Sunday, obviously. It was a rainy day here in San Francisco. I went over to the DeYoung Museum. I'm a museum goer. I haven't been there in a while. I just don't have the time. I spent the weekend doing watercolors. That's right. I haven't done any since 1977, but I decided to learn how to paint again. They're simple, they're innocent, they're childish. There's something you might see in a nut house or a prison cell, but okay, it doesn't matter. It's art therapy. And the first picture I did was that of a self-portrait. It's actually quite good. The second was of a clown, and the third was of two figures called two men. And I may post them on my website one day, but not right now. But it was raining. I didn't know what to do with myself for the day. So I went over to the museum. I go to the European art mainly. And I look at certain paintings that I like. I don't want to go tell you which ones I like, but there's certain paintings I go to, such as the Iron Workers. There's one of a ship stuck in the ice from 1870 up in the Arctic that's astounding. There's another of Marin County painted in 1860 of Mount Tamalpais. I just love great art. And as I'm walking around the corridors of the museum, I overhear a black museum security guard talking so people could hear him to another black security guard. He was a man. She was a woman. You have to say that in San Francisco because it's very confusing. You could say wife and it could mean a husband. You don't know. So he was a man and she was a woman. They're both African American. He was talking loudly enough for people to hear him. And he said, that cop was hunting and looking to kill a black man. He didn't just come upon him. He was looking to kill him. Now, I bit my tongue because I said, you know, A, it's a free country. B, it's your day off. C, you got a show to do on Monday. You can do it on the show. And I said, you know, this revolutionary talk has now reached every level of society. The hatred that Obama and Holder and Sharpton and the rest of them have wrought has now filtered down to everybody in this society. They kept it alive. They magnified it. They threw fire. They threw a lighter fuel on the fire, and they won't let it go. And there are many reasons for this. Many, many reasons for this. And all I could think about was I have a radio show to talk about this because I know everyone's talking about it. It's the number one thing. Oh, there are many other stories about Obama purging the military and that the person he offered the job of defense secretary to, who would have been the first woman, has turned it down because he's a micromanager. He won't let anybody do their job without telling them what to do. This is a madness that you have to understand is dangerous to a level you'll never understand until it's all over. This is going to take surviving this man and then a historian who's not owned by the establishment to write the true history of Barack Obama and what he did to this country. It may take 30 years to recover from what he's done to us. That's if we ever recover from the just from the debt that he's incurring. Whatever happened to the national debt? That was a big issue a few years ago. Would that go away? He just printed $1 trillion to pay off old debt. You forgot the debt clock? That was a hot item 2 years ago, remember? Republicans dropped that. What about the immigration question? Republicans dropped that. So what are they fighting for, the Republicans? Nothing but self-aggrandizement in their own power, I say to myself as I drive back from the museum and go over to Chinatown, thinking about all these things, about what I'm going to talk about on the radio the next day, which is today. And I go to a Chinese restaurant I haven't been to in years. A regular one, the type tourists go to off Grant Avenue, to compare it to one of the dumps I go to, because the dump I go to was closed. And the other dump I go to, I couldn't get in because there was no parking. And, you know, it was Chinatown. It wasn't bad. It was okay. $19 for a plate of seafood and the drecky mushrooms I threw in the garbage. But the beer was cold and the beer was good. And the longer I sat in the Chinese restaurant and listen to the loudness. The yelling was so loud. I mean, they scream in that restaurant full of, you know, tourists and locals, but they're yelling. I couldn't take, I can't eat around noise. I look over at the fish tanks, the live fish tank, and I see the fish looking desperately out of the glass of the fish tank. And I got very depressed. I got very depressed looking at the fish begging to be released and to be free, that they wouldn't be killed and eaten. I know it sounds maudlin, but I wrote another little poem in my head, and it went like this. We are all fish in God's fish tank, looking out the glass, hoping someone will offer us salvation. But I'm not a preacher. I'm just a talk show host. But sometimes I feel that we're just fish in a fish tank, begging for salvation. I come home, fire up the old computer, find a little article. Listen to this headline from the useless San Francisco newspaper. Listen to what the garbage that's written today. Man 60 shot during argument in SF's North Beach. No race described. It says an armed man shot a 60-year-old man during an argument. The victim was not identified. It was an argument with the suspect at Columbus and Vallejo when the shooter pulled out a handgun and shot the victim in the upper body and fled. Authorities did not provide a description of the suspect. Several windows were shattered at the restaurant near where the shooting happened. Now, that's not the story. The real story is an unarmed white man, 60, was shot by a black man who fled. Now, the man who was shot is a first-class POS. He's a neighborhood troublemaker. He's a racist through and through. He hates blacks. He hates Jews. He hates Hispanics. He hates white people. Even though he himself is Italian, he's a piece of garbage. Everyone hates him. He's a nut who's never worked a day in his life. He lives on SDSI with most of the other people in the Cafe Trieste. But no one reported that in the newspapers. I had to do the digging to find out. The victim, a man named, I can't read the name, was well known in the North Beach neighborhood. Yes, as a piece of, you know what. The man was walking across Vallejo and he got angry at a driver. He started cursing, used a racial epithet, and then hit the car with his cane. The driver, who was black, got out and pistol-whipped him. Shots were fired. In other words, the black man shot the white guy, and police said a bullet lodged in his shoulder. The victim was transported to San Francisco General Hospital with injuries not considered life-threatening. Police said the suspect drove away in a gray sedan and is currently outstanding. So the useless newspaper that once was a decent B newspaper has become nothing but a government propaganda sheet. Oh, they had a lot to do on Ferguson. Oh, yeah. That was day and night. Day and night, white man shoots unarmed black youth. But here when you see a reversal here, no coverage. No coverage. Now, admittedly, I got to tell you, the guy he shot was an evil, evil man, in my opinion. Horrible man. Everyone hated him. But let's say he did hit the guy's car with a cane and curse him and use a racial epithet. Can't shoot a guy for that, can you? You can't shoot him for that. That's not how a society operates. That's a crime. But that's not the only crime of the type that's going on right now of black-on-white crime. There are a few others that are being non-reported in the media. Shall we tell you about them? Gang of teens beat motorists to death with hammers in St. Louis. We had to go to London for that story. In an apparently random attack, a gang of teens beat Zamir Bejik, 32, to death with hammers. Wife says he pulled her out of the way so he would be beaten, not her. St. Louis police detained two suspects, aged 15 and 16, and they're searching for two others. You see, the 32-year-old stepped out of his vehicle because a group of teenagers surrounded his car and began banging on it. The teenagers then set upon him with hammers, striking him in the head, abdomen, face, and leaving him fatally injured. We do not know if Al Sharpton went there to ask them what their grievances were. We do not know if Eric Holder has issued a request for information. But we do know that a Bosnian Muslim, part of a large Bosnian Muslim community in St. Louis, was agitated by this. And they marched in anger at the killing on Sunday. But the Bosnians in St. Louis didn't burn anything down. They didn't attack randomly. They didn't attack anyone randomly. And the police assured residents the attack wasn't a hate crime. Was it a hate crime? Because it was black youths attacking an unarmed white man and beating him to death. But it was certainly a hate. You get the picture. And it goes back to the letter I read to you about English apologizing to the Irish, where the English have now lost their country owing to cowardice and a silenced press. It's a great letter, English apologizing to the Irish for the way they treated the Irish during the years of the Troubles, how they took away their civil rights and how they're doing nothing to the radical Islamists amongst them, and where England has now become a Londonistan, as they say. And the sheeple, I like that the word sheeple has crossed the pond. Thank you very much for picking it up for me. When he says, we have become a nation of sheeple, with a government of wolves unafraid of us, the law-abiding citizen. They have strangled us with liberal values of political correctness, and they are impotent and weak in front of a real enemy, more interested in the bogus threat of climate change. And he says, England is dead. So those are two other little stories I thought I would share with you on the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on any of these stories, and I'm sure you would like to, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's go to John on WMAL. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, welcome back. Too bad you didn't have a better Thanksgiving. I always love Thanksgiving and Christmas, the best times of the year, but not this year.
No, I had a nice day. I was with my family on Thanksgiving night up at a Basque restaurant I go to. It was beautiful. My granddaughter was there. It was beautiful.
Okay,
No, I mean the society, what's going on. This man's ripping this country to ribbons.
Yeah, well, let me just say one thing about your last comment about the British stealing your term, sheeple. Aren't you still banned from going to the U.K.?
Yes, yeah. And not one conservative loudmouth in the radio media has said one word in my defense. In fact, one of them, a shrill ex-lawyer who didn't have the guts to become an actual lawyer, actually said I deserve to be banned, but he passes himself off as the king of the conservative movement now. But Rush did nothing. Hannity did nothing. None of them did a thing. No, nobody did a thing. Nothing.
Well,
no, it's sickening. It's sickening. When they came for Michael Savage, none of these loudmouths said a word. But every day they attack the Democrats like that's the whole reason to be. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm still banned from entering England along with, let's see, skinheads who actually murdered people. And others. I'm the only member of the American media who has ever been banned from entering England. And let me go a step further since you raised the question. I didn't even mean to get into this, but let's clear the air for 2014. I went to major Jewish groups who are worthless. All of these major Jewish groups are the same as the Jewish groups before the Holocaust in Germany. They're self-important individuals who stand for nothing but their own self-importance and their own personal gain. They're like the Al Sharptons of the Jewish community. There's not a Jewish organization in America who would lift a finger for me.
That's not right.
It's not only not right, it just shows you the danger we're in here. Everyone's in it for themselves. Let me tell you that right now. But anyway, let's get back to what you were calling about.
Called about this professor at UC Davis that said there's no American dream.
Yeah.
And isn't it ironic? I'm sure he is a supporter of Barack Obama, the first black president. When we were kids, and I went to public schools in Newark, New Jersey, not the best school system in the world, but in the 40s and 50s, they had professional teachers that didn't go on strike, didn't belong to unions, that were dedicated to their jobs. Most of the women were spinsters, and they were terrific teachers. And I got into an Ivy League college. I graduated from Dartmouth in 1962, and everybody wondered, how the hell did that happen? Well, maybe I had a good training when I was in school. But
anyway. And let me tell you, when I went to school, I had wonderful teachers. They were tough as nails, including, in high school, many returning war veterans from the Korean War.
Absolutely.
We had a lot of good role models when I went to high school, and they didn't take crap from the kids. If a kid caused trouble, you know what? They'd beat him up. They'd take him in the hallway and throw him out of the classroom. They didn't call some skinny, twerpy lawyer from the ACLU to see what they were allowed to do. They threw them out of the classroom. And by the way, we had special classes for bright kids, and the dummies went into a special class for morons. They didn't make the bright kids sit in the room with dumbbells, because we know what happens when you put bright kids in with dumbbells. The bright kids suffer, and the dumbbells learn nothing anyway.
Let me just say what I really called up for, and that is we were told growing up, and I'm second-generation Italian, they came through Ellis Island legally, and everybody did better than their parents. Not like this guy saying that, you know, it's all, you know, flatline. But we were told that anybody...
Wait, hold on. Let's back up. Didn't Al Sharpton do better than his parents? Look how far he's gotten on race hustling. I mean, we do have examples of the professor lying. Jesse Jackson's done better than his father based on race hustling. Barack Obama's done better than his Kenyan father who died an alcoholic in a village in Kenya, didn't he?
My point.
No, I'm saying Barack Obama has upward mobility compared to his father. So the professor is wrong. There's not... I mean, there's many examples of people who have gone beyond their father.
Came to Washington having student loans. Now he's a multimillionaire. The last time I heard about his net worth was $10 million. I'm sure it's higher than that, and it will be.
Oh, wait till he gets out. You'll see he'll be hired by a solar company or maybe one of the companies that provide cameras for the police. Hey, my friends, stay the course. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
There are seven witnesses who support the police officer's testimony. And when I was listening to the back and forth between the lawyers, what was left out is a key witness, an African-American witness, says that the officer was charged aggressively at the very end.
So Giuliani has the guts to come forward in the midst of all of this, the others are hiding, and say that the Darren Wilson case should never have gone to a grand jury. In other words, the poor officer was raked over the hot coals because of vermin like Al Sharpton. And as a result, they brought it to a grand jury in order to placate the civil rights leaders. And he said there was no evidence to have brought it to a grand jury. And he was a prosecutor for 13 years. The case should have been dismissed against the officer immediately, he said. But don't tell that to Al the Hater Sharpton. No, don't tell that to Barack the Camera Obama or Eric the Stirrer Holder.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Everywhere you turn, there are whisperings of communism and revolution, just as planned by the communist revolutionaries who have seized power in this nation. It was a time of love and a time of hate. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down. We played Farrakhan. We played that vile creature, Sharpton. You know, of all of them, he actually gets me more agitated than anyone on earth. How could a man as patently evil as Al Sharpton have risen so far in this nation? It's one thing to be a professional agitator. It's another thing to have committed crimes and gotten away with them. I actually don't know how he gets this far. But moreover, how does a Democrat Party permit themselves to rub shoulders with a creature like him? How does NBC run a man like his show? What is it? They're afraid of a riot outside the theater? Is that it? You know, there's a lot of malcontent in the world. The world's an unfair place. Some are born better looking than others. Some are taller than others. Some have better behinds than others. Some have more muscles than others. Some can play basketball better than others. Some can do physics better than others. Some can paint pictures. Some can't paint pictures. We're like snowflakes. Some are ugly snowflakes. Some are beautiful snowflakes. Do you want all the snowflakes that God creates to be the same snowflake? That's the promise of communism, that all snowflakes shall be equal. All snowflakes shall be exactly the same. There shall be no bigger snowflakes than smaller snowflakes. There shall be no brighter snowflakes than dimmer snowflakes. There shall be no crisper snowflakes than melting snowflakes. But that's not the way the world works. And since the beginning of time, there have been race haters, tribal haters, who have turned one against the other to keep their power. These are the most despicable of all men. And unfortunately, we have such a warped American system of government that although we had an election, it's as though the election has been nullified before it was even counted. Now, I have to take responsibility for having had something to do with the election. My book, Stop the Coming Civil War, was aimed at the millions of conservatives who stopped voting, who gave up on the voting process. My entire treatise said to you, hold your nose and vote for Republicans. Isn't that what I said? And then I said our work will really begin after the election, when we win, which we have done, because we're going to lobby Boehner and McConnell and the others to do what we want them to do. Isn't that what I told you? Is that not the promise I gave you, that I said to you if I was still on the radio and still healthy enough and all of that, I'd work with you over the next year or two, God willing, to make this country do what the people who pay its bills want done? Well, that's what I'm here to do. It's just the beginning of the next year to me. December 1 is the beginning of 2015. We have to roll up our sleeves and we have to hold our breath and we have to work on Boehner and McConnell and probably get rid of them. We have to get them out of power positions. We have to put the new young ones in that were elected. There are so many wonderful young conservative Republicans who were swept up in this tide against the communist revolution that almost stole America out from under our feet. We have to get them into positions of power. We must push the old guard out because they're going to destroy this country with amnesty for 40 million illegal aliens saying it's only five. Like, that's an acceptable number. You hear that? We're already saying, oh, well, it's only 5 million illegal aliens, but it's not 5 million. It's 40 million when you count their families and what they really want to do. Or let us say the national debt. Did one Republican mention the national debt, or that's been forgotten? Remember the debt clock was a big deal 2 years ago? That's forgotten. Obama just printed $1 trillion to pay off the debt that had been accruing. Instead of paying it down or cutting back on government bureaucracy, firing people in the government, as I called for, he ordered the Treasury to print $1 trillion in more money, thereby devaluing our currency even further. I pray to God it doesn't become like the Weimar Republic, where people needed to put a wheelbarrow full of paper money to go buy a loaf of bread. It's happened in other countries. It can happen here. You know by housing prices what the real value of money is, don't you? You think your house really went up in that much? It went up that much in value? It didn't. That's called runaway inflation. But it's called real estate for a reason. It's real and it's an estate. Gold went up. It's real. Real estate. Gold is real. Real estate is real. So the fiat currency that Obama has just printed has just been diminished in value by a certain percentage. I couldn't give you the exact percentage. But it's just been devalued. He just devalued our currency. As I told you, when I was a young man, I visited Europe. And there were old francs and new francs. I really didn't know the difference, but one was 10 times cheaper than the other. You want to wake up one day to Obama issuing a new dollar, which is $1 equals a new $10 bill equals a $1 bill in new dollars and these? Or your $100 bills that you have stashed away become worth $10 because they're now not the equivalent of one new dollar? Is that it? That's how they did it in the days when there was runaway inflation. We have a madman in the White House who doesn't either doesn't know or doesn't care about the reality of what he's inflicting on this country. Of course there's unfairness. There always has been unfairness. That's why I told you about snowflakes. There always will be unfairness because human beings are not the same. One of the reasons I love great art and one of the reasons I go to great museums is because I see things in a kind of an eye of time. And so one of the paintings I stop at in the de Young Museum, as I did yesterday, is called The Iron Workers' Noontime from 1880 by the American painter Thomas Anschutz. And it shows hard white men outside a factory in West Virginia, probably a steel factory, I would guess. And they're lean and they're tough and they're tired. And one of the art historians of the day said it's one of the first American paintings to depict the bleakness of factory life. The Iron Workers' Noontime appears to be a clear indictment of industrialization. Its brutal candor startled critics as saw it as unexpectedly confrontational. A chilling industrial snapshot, not the least picturesque or sublime. Now this painting, if it's supposed to be confrontational, was revolutionary in its time. But here is the difference between those who bring the nations together and those who try to burn it down. Between those who take their energies and build with it. And those evil ones who just use the normal discontent of any society to tear it down and to make money on their own, like the reverends that I'm talking about, who stir up the masses with hatred, try to set cities on fire. They're the worst of humanity. Make no confusion about it. But what's bewildering is that a president who should know better would permit such vile individuals into the White House at a time like this. Well, that's because birds of a feather flock together, obviously. They're no different. Just one is smoother than the other. I watch a small house being built in my neighborhood. I see the hard work of the Mexicans and the Guatemalans and the El Salvadorans. I listen to them speak in their native tongue. I don't understand all of their words or even some of the words sometimes. But I watch them work. They work as hard as the Italians work that I watched working when I was a kid in New York City. I watched the bricklayers. They were very, very similar. Very similar in many ways. But they didn't burn the city down. They knew that they'd have to work 6 or 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, until they dropped dead. And they hoped that one day their son or their daughter would do better than they did. Maybe he'd be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. Dr. Corleone, Senator Corleone, I'm just joking. But that the son would do better than the father. And that's the way it was. That was the American story. And some sons did better than the father and some didn't. But at least the son had the chance to try to do better. It didn't mean no matter how talented he was or how hard he worked that he would do better. But it didn't mean society failed him. It means that he just didn't make it. Something went wrong. That's all. I had 20 hard years where no matter what I did, I called myself a wildcatter who never hit a well. I learned to joke about it. No matter what I did, No matter how much schooling I got, I was locked out because I was a white male. They were only hiring women, minorities, and illegal aliens. I got angry as hell. I got angrier than you could ever imagine. I got depressed. But I didn't kill anybody. I didn't burn anything down. I wound up doing something else. I reinvented my talents. Or rather, I drilled down into some other part of me and found other talents. And so, yes, there's always been bleakness in America. There will always be bleakness in parts of America. And there will always be malcontents in America, as there are in all societies. But never before have we had so many agitators stirring up the malcontents as we do now, coming right out of the White House, Justice Department, in my analysis. This is a very dangerous time. I also spent the weekend, as I said to you, painting my own little watercolors, and that's, I'm not here to talk about that. It kind of calms my mind down. It's a form of meditation. The colors, using childish paintings like that, have colored my thinking in a way, and they've given me more color to my words. It's amazing. As I worked with colors, I started to be able to write differently. My writing became more colorful. Would you believe that? And maybe my speech today is a little more florid. I don't know. But the point I'm making is art can be very instructive. There's good art and there's bad art. There's great art and there's common art. There's very great art and there's good art. And so even in the world of art, nothing's fair. Wherever you turn, nothing is fair because that's the way the world is. Look at the world of thoroughbred racing horses. What's a race about? See which horse is best. According to Obama, all horses should be equal. All horses should cross the finish line at the same time. There should be no winners or losers. There should be no win, show, or place. That's the new schooling in America, the Common Core. All horses are equal. Just some horses are more equal than others. The horses at top are more equal than others. Our education secretary is the most equal of all of them. Our agitator-in-chief is more equal than everybody. But he's just like us, so they would say. He's just more equal than us. You get the drift. I mean, I can go on and on about this all day long. But as I say to you, when I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War, I didn't write it just as a book to throw it away after the holiday and after the vacation. I wrote it as an architectural plan for retaking America once I help push the Republicans into power. And make no mistake about it, I don't care what my detractors say, those who are not equal to me. I helped the Republicans win in a great way. This book motivated millions of people who weren't going to vote. But I made them a promise. I said, after the election, take my book and use the entire treatise in this book to lobby the Republicans to do the right thing. And that's our work for 2015. We must lobby the Republicans before it's too late. We have to do that. And that's what I intend to do throughout 2015 on the radio if I'm given the opportunity to do so. I'm going to show you how you can take the information in Stop the Coming Civil War and motivate Boehner and McConnell and the others to do what the voters elected, not them, but the conservative Republicans to do. Nobody went to the polls to vote for Boehner. Nobody went to the polls to vote for McConnell, did they? Nobody did. Absolutely nobody. These clowns just picked up on the massive fury of the people. A fury against this communism that is emerging in this country. I know it's a word that has no meaning to most of you. And the minute I use it, I realize many of you will dismiss my words saying it's rhetoric that no longer applies. But I also spent the weekend studying something. I studied the Communist Revolution of 1917. I've studied it before, in part. But I had a lot of hours in the rain to do some reading. And I studied the history of it. Lenin and Marx and Engels and Trotsky. Names I had been somewhat familiar with years ago. And the more I studied it, the more I realized how close we are to a revolution in this country where these communist agitators like Obama and Holder and Sharpton and the others are trying to get a mass revolution going in this country to bring the entire house down, to reshape the entire society in their image. That's why I said stop the coming civil war. I saw what they were trying to do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you know how dangerous these times are when you have such a small-minded man in the White House, such a small-minded leftist fanatic who will not relent? No other president who has brought his party to near ruin in an election has ever done what he's doing, by the way. This is a brand new day for politics as well. usually they take the party in the other direction to try and meet the opposition party, meaning the voice of the people, halfway or somewhere down the middle. But not this thin man in the White House. He is doubling down and going further to the left, ever more dangerously, out onto the thin, thin ice of the future. And on that note, I will pause.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CON. No, we're getting hit with rain on the West Coast after this, the lies of the global warming liars. We're going into the next cycle here in California and the West Coast, which is 6 years of wetness. I've told you before, this is a Mediterranean climate. And most of the morons in the universities who teach this don't even know what a Mediterranean climate is anymore. They're so brainwashed. It's 6 years of drought during which they push the global warming theory down the students' throats, and the morons in the media buy it hook, line, and sinker. Now we're going into 6 years of rain, flooding, mudslides. They'll blame it on global warming again because they have no other doxy. You understand it's their religion. There's no science involved in any of it. But I'm actually pleased. I love to see that nature never disappoints me. Never. I was waiting for this cycle. I love it. Rainy Tuesday and Wednesday, sorry. The entire state, which was parched and dying and disappearing, will receive a storm with up to 4 inches of rain by Wednesday night. Then it's going to go out into the desert. It's going to hit Palm Springs and then go out into Arizona, Las Vegas. Just as in the last few millennia. That's all. Long before the frauds like Al Gore came along and created this fantasy in order to cash in on the billions of dollars. Same with the race relations. We were doing better. We were getting along better. People were upwardly mobile. We had our first black president. Our first attorney general was black. And look what they've done with this power they've been given. Have they put the society in a better place or a worse place?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
It was a time of love and a time of hate. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I wrote that as a takeoff on Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities, which I think some of you may have read before Johnny Has Two Daddies became more popular in schools than Charles Dickens. But nevertheless, we're talking about what this character in the White House has done to this country, orchestrating these riots by not suppressing the riots, orchestrating these riots by consorting with known racial agitators like Al Sharpton, orchestrating these riots by blaming the police, not the perpetrators of violence. It begins and it ends at the top. A fish rots from the head down. Meanwhile, one of the Ferguson protesters, a major league one, says the only solution is a communist revolution. That's right. That's what he said. Ferguson, Missouri, openly calling for a communist revolution, saying the only solution is a communist revolution. Pictures posted on Twitchy say they hold signs saying racist cops must be smashed with a communist revolution. This is exactly the playbook of Karl Marx. If you study the history of the Bolshevik Revolution, it didn't start very differently than this. The only good news, and I'm here to give you the truth, not the bad news or the good news. I studied the Russian Revolution in great detail over the weekend, and there's one big difference between the slime that's trying to stir up the masses against those who have more than them today in America and the slime in Russia who brought about the devolution of Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution. You want to hear the big difference? No one's starving in this country. If the Russians had not been starving, you see what I'm saying? There wouldn't have been a revolution. If they were as fat and happy as most of those in America today, it would have been a different story. They would have stayed home in their huts and just ran the fires, and that would have been the end of it. Drank their vodka and passed out and died at 45. They never would have become revolutionaries, but they were starving to death. And so if the communists learn that, and maybe I shouldn't have said it, maybe they can make sure that our farmers are next targeted by Obama. Maybe Obama can call them kulaks and turn them into national farms. Maybe he can nationalize the raising of corn and wheat in America and soybeans. Maybe he can raise the, he can have some of the bureaucrats from Washington go out and raise the hogs and the cattle and the sheep. After all, government bureaucrats know how to do everything better. Stalin thought so. It led to the mass starvation of 30 million Russians once the government took over the farms. You don't know the history of Russia. After Stalin was put in power in the 30s, way past the Bolshevik Revolution, he started a war on the farmers because he said that the government could do it better. He wanted nationalized farms. But he didn't do it overnight. First, he started to call them kulaks. He said they were profiteers. They had no right to make a profit on the bounty of nature. Sound familiar to you from the Greens in America today? And so he nationalized the farms. He put government bureaucrats from Moscow in charge of wheat production in the Soviet Union. And 30 million people died. Sound familiar to you? Sound like Marxism 101? Well, we're not too far from that in some industries in this country. And I don't think we're going to have that happen in our time because they were just thrown out of office during the last election. And never get away with it with the new Congress. None of this will matter. But the big but is the cities are going to burn. Unless this man is called out for what he is and told to stop it by the opposition party, these cities will burn. These animals will not stop. These communist revolutionaries just won't stop until they are stopped. Believe me, the National Guard could have been called out in Ferguson. They were there. But they were intimidated by one man named Eric Holder, who warned them, if you went out and stopped the protesters from burning, we'll arrest you for civil rights violations. So you can blame the burning and the looting in Oakland, California, Atlanta, Georgia, wherever it occurred, you can blame it on Eric Holder. He did it. He may not have lit the torch, but he told the torchbearers to go ahead and stay the course. I haven't taken too many calls today because it's Monday and we're all pent up. It's been a long weekend. Perry in Washington, D.C. on WMAL. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Straight to the point. Look, there's a solution for the upliftment and the, for black folks, economically and otherwise. It comes in the form of the guidance of the man you mentioned earlier, Minister Farrakhan, and the Nation of Islam and the economic blueprint. And I've been with him for over 20 years. I know if it wasn't for, of course, by the grace of God and his work, I would have been dead a long time ago. I'm almost.
Okay, wait. I'm not following you. You're a follower of Louis Farrakhan, who said that the city should burn. That's what he said.
He said that? Did you?
Well, hold on. Why don't you listen carefully? Let's play clip number one. I like, since you're a follower of the great reverend, let's listen to clip number one. I like you because you're an intelligent man and we can have a discussion, which I love. Let's hear clip number one. I'd like to hear your opinion on it.
When we die and they die, then soon we're going to sit at a table and talk about retired. We want some of this earth or we'll tear this goddamn country up.
That's a man of peace, isn't it?
I was there. That was at Morgan State last Saturday.
You're right. So that's a man of peace, a preacher saying we'll tear this goddamn country apart.
See, you have, there are different sides of say, God, for instance. I'm not calling him God. I'm just saying there are different sides of God. There's peace. There's anger. There's different things. But see, what he was reflecting on, that's why these sound bites are important. But if you hear the whole context of things, these sound bites, he was reflecting on the frustration, the boiling point of what's happened to not just black folks in America, but the human family. And it's like at this point, look, we've been...
No, wait. Now you're saying he's speaking for all of humanity at an all-black college? And when he says we going to burn, we'll tear this goddamn country apart, that's his idea of bringing people together?
He was making a point in generalization, but pointing directly to that, he was talking about black folks, and he was talking at a black college, but he was talking about black folks. But before that, he was talking about economic togetherness. He's talking about pooling resources. He was talking about creating our own jobs. He's talking about depending on just ourselves, not the government.
That's very good. Then why doesn't he create one job? Why doesn't he just create jobs since he's such a genius at economic recovery? We'd all love that. Why doesn't he create a job or two? That would be great.
Yeah, Yeah, many jobs have been created, particularly in our farmland in the South. Just 1,400 acres, which have produced many metric tons of wheat, which have created 40 jobs in that area. We created jobs.
Well, why didn't he give a speech about the creation of wheat instead of burning cities down? I don't understand it. Why does he have to go to the rhetoric of inflammatory rhetoric like that? It makes no sense. He's a great man, and his followers think he is. He's a very powerful speaker. Why does he continue to stir up such hatred?
Well, it's not, first of all, it's not hatred. You have to understand something. When you push people to a certain limit, that was the point, the crescendo of the speech.
How much reparations do you want? You got a black president, a black attorney general, a good swath of the federal government consists of African Americans. I mean, what do you want? Tell me what exactly you want. What is it you're looking for?
I'm going to tell you, freedom, justice, and equality. And that's something we have to...
Well, what does that mean? Those are words that have no meaning. What do you mean, freedom, justice, and equality? That's the kind of stuff you heard in the Soviet era. What does that actually mean? You want the next man's... You want the labor of the next man to pay you?
No, of course not. We don't want anything. We want to do for self. That's number one. I don't want welfare. I don't want any kind of handouts. And like he said years ago, he said reparations in the forms of cash... if we were to get that, we would spend it right back on foolishness. So if that doesn't...
Wait, so this is all about reparations. Is that what you're getting at?
Pardon me? No, what we're talking about is doing for self. Meaning...
No, but I'm saying, are you asking for reparations to African Americans for some issues to do with slavery 150 years ago? Is that what you're asking for?
Well, actually, the residual, yes, because everyone else has gotten a form of reparations.
Well, what about all of the trillions of dollars spent on welfare and programs for the poor, including blacks? Is that a form of reparations?
Well,
what about the affirmative action that's put people in positions of power, given them jobs and scholarships and entry to colleges that they didn't quite earn? Is that not a form of reparations?
Well, getting to the point.
Well, let's go to the next step. Who would pay these reparations? Would that include Mexican immigrants who are about to be legalized as citizens? Would they also be required to pay reparations to you for injustices that your ancestors suffered?
Well, actually, we're still suffering the residual effects of that.
No, but I'm saying, but who would pay the reparations? Would it include newly arrived immigrants? Now, let's start with that question.
Well, I can't get into the dynamics of that.
Well, you're an expert on reparations, and you're asking for us to give you money. So shouldn't we have a discussion of who pays that money?
Actually, you know what? America, does, you know what the Minister Fackenheim said? It should be given in the form of land. Let us work the land ourselves. We never got the 40 acres and the mule. So
you're saying land should be given to you. Where would this land be?
It would have been totally different. If we were
where is the land? You want 40 acres of Manhattan, or what do you want? Where would the land be?
We should get 40 acres of fertile, fertile farmland. Fertile farmland that is rich, that can produce.
That sounds very good. And you're telling me people who live in housing projects in Ferguson, Missouri, are going to give up their TVs and their iPhones and free this and free that and go work the land? Are you kidding me?
That's what we're working on, changing that mindset.
That's admirable, by the way. And by the way, there are some things that the Reverend has done that are much more positive than Al Sharpton's done, if you want to be honest. He has preached to the Nation of Islam no drugs, no alcohol, no whoring. You think I don't know that? That's been a very positive influence.
If it wasn't for him and the nation, my children, who are doing very well, they wouldn't even...
But did you hear what I just said? Please acknowledge that I know that. Please, it's important to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If we're having a discussion, of course we're not going to agree with each other, but don't think that I'm ignorant of what Farrakhan may have done on the positive level. Unlike some in the media who don't even understand what he has done because of his rhetoric, which stands in his own way. But this idea of 40 acres and a mule, I don't really understand that. You know most of the people aren't capable of working the land.
No, I'm saying if we had gotten it when it was supposed to be given to us, the whole business dynamics of structure of America would be totally different right now.
Because every African-American who was freed after the Civil War was not given 40 acres and a mule, so now we have to give... those folks money in equivalent to 40 acres and a mule.
You have to also talk about reparations for the things that happened after slavery.
No, so it never ends, in other words. And it would never end. No matter what you were given, wouldn't be enough.
Let's talk about eugenics. Let's talk about...
It would never be enough. No matter what was given, it wouldn't be enough. Well, look, if you want reparations, that's a fair argument to discuss. Of course, you yourself didn't suffer slavery, did you?
But I'm suffering the residual effects of it.
No, that's college professor garbage. What about the white Irish who came here in the 1870s and were told Irish and dogs need not apply, and they worked their way out of poverty? Should they get reparations from those who imposed racism on them?
No, but they end up running Tammany Hall in New York.
How did they wind up running Tammany Hall? What, someone gave it to them?
No, but the thing about it is there was...
No, how did the Irish, move ahead? How did the Italians move ahead who came here with nothing and lived on nothing? And they worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and built a family saying their son would do better. They drilled it into their son to go to school to do better. They didn't tell their son to sit home and scream for reparations, did they?
They came on their own. They came wanting to be here. When they had tears in their eyes when they arrived at Ellis Island, they saw the statue there in the harbor. They were
so you're
happy.
Saying you didn't, your ancestors didn't want to be here?
No, we were forced here, sir.
Okay, so didn't many African Americans go back to Africa in the first Back to Africa movement and create a country called Liberia? Is that not a fact?
I didn't read up on that, so... But
oh, so you missed that part of your history. The good reverend didn't teach that to you. Liberia was founded by African Americans who, like you, hated the country, could not stand being around white people, and so they went back to Africa to create their haven. How'd that work out?
You know, I want you to be clear.
How'd that work out?
I want you to be clear on Perry. And really, the minister...
You didn't respond. Look, you didn't respond to what I just said. You don't even know what Liberia is.
You threw
Liberia,
a lot of...
listen to the word, Liberia. That should appeal to every liberal. Liberalia. It's Liberia, liberation, free, freedom land. The black Africans who were freed went back to Africa and created a nation called Liberia.
And I have to research that. I'm not saying you're lying.
All right, fine. So you learned something. Let's continue this at another time. We're never going to agree because this is absurd. But let me conclude the reparations discussion with the following. If there is a movement for reparations, as there has been for a long time since the communist professors at Harvard started this discussion about 30 years ago, on tenure, by the way, which is another form of reparations, incidentally, because they were never qualified for the job to begin with, so they created a whole department built around the big lie. Ethnic studies, what is this, ethnic studies? All of a sudden, that's no such department, created out of whole cloth, with $200,000 salaries and lectures all over the world. All of a sudden, that's not reparations either. But let's talk about reparations per se. Slavery was the most horrible thing that could happen to a man. There's nothing more horrible than taking away a man's freedom and dignity. That we all have to agree upon. So let's go back to Africa together. Let's travel together in time. And let's look at the actual story of slavery, who traded the slaves, who sold the Africans into slavery, and who profited from the slavery. And then perhaps you'll come to understand that the the proper individuals to address these grievances to would be the Arabian princes whose ancestors made their first fortunes by dealing with black African slaves. And I shall return in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
The fight ain't over. And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round. You won the first round, Mr. Prosecutor, but don't cut your gloves off, because the fight's not over. Justice will come to Ferguson.
In other words, burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. You know, Carver was a great black man. He actually created an invention. He didn't just put out hatred. George Washington Carver. And this inventor, this great African-American inventor, said that there's a certain race of blacks who will never let slavery go because it's their living. It's their income. He was talking, of course, about the Sharptons, the Jacksons, the Obamas, and the Holders, who have gotten where they are strictly through white guilt. When in fact, There is no single group responsible for the crime of slavery because black Africans and Arabs were responsible for enslaving the ancestors of African Americans. Learn your history.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The fight ain't over. And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round.
Yeah, you're such a tough
you
guy.
You won the first round, Mr. Prosecutor.
What
but don't cut your gloves
Steinbeck.
Off, because the fight's not over. Justice will come to Ferguson.
Hatred.
When
hatred.
We die and hatred. They die.
Hatred. More hatred. More hate.
Then soon.
More hate.
We're going to sit at a table and talk about we tired. We want some of this earth. Because we'll tear this goddamn country up.
It is the Savage Nation, hour number three. Rolling into Tuesday soon. Big rainstorm whacking the West Coast. Al Gore nowhere to be seen. Hiding somewhere in a desert foxhole to push forward his big lie as we have mudslides and floods here in California. I guess old Jerry Brown will have to slow down a little bit on his global warming fictions. At least for the winter. Yep, the world goes on. The liars and the haters of the left just don't stop, do they? Burn, baby, burn. It's an old tune. We thought we were through with it until we got our first black president, first black attorney general, and next we wake up and it's burning, baby, burning. National Guard was called out by the governor, but they were told to stand down because if they did their job and inhibited the white communists and the black mobs from burning and looting and beating people up, that would have been a crime, I guess, against humanity. And then the vermin in the media, I mean, they had their part to play too, the Shepard Smiths. And the other louts of the left had the nerve to stand there and say, well, why aren't the police and firemen doing their jobs? That's right, old Shepard Smith, the dumbest. I would say he's about the most ignorant man in the history of news, Shepard Smith. A second to the pretty boy on CNN who has no followers that I know of. Maybe personal followers, assistants or whatever. Anderson Blooper. Clueless, like fools. Standing there watching the fire saying it's the police and firemen who weren't doing their job, never once talking about the race rioters, never once talking about Sharpton, never once talking about Holder constraining the police and the National Guard, never once saying that the president himself stirred up this hatred. Not once, and it goes on and on and on and on. Now we wake up on Monday, and there he is again. The disappearing Al Sharpton, the amazing shrinking Al Sharpton. The only thing left is the loud voice. The bloated football-like body has disappeared, but the loud voice is still there. It's actually a medical mystery how a bloated street agitator like this shrinks so dramatically in size, and yet his voice remains as potent as it was during his days of the Freddie Fashions Mart Fire incident and the blasphemy against Detective Pagonis. It's amazing to me. He should be studied in a medical school. How this works. There could be something, some advancement finally from his being on Earth if they could figure out how his voice has retained its potency, although his body is slowly disappearing around the voice. I don't, it's a miracle to me, unless he's just a hologram. There could be an Al Sharpton hologram created by the White House, where his voice is created by a Moog synthesizer to stir up, you know, hatred. Well, we talked about that. We talked about the, I knew this would come up, the reparations. I knew that was in the air. Yeah, Gates had to come out of Harvard with that one. I mean, that, here we go again. Reparations for blacks. And then we have to give the counter arguments and then it'll go nowhere. But it's a nice way to get people agitated and have them come out and vote. This is what community agitators do. I mean, community organizers. is agitate masses. So those are some of the topics that we've been talking about, but there are others. Believe me, there are others, but they won't let it go. Before we leave the Darren Wilson case, and this poor cop, by the way, this poor cop, according to people who know, like Rudy Giuliani, who was a prosecutor for so many years, 13 years, he said there never should have been a grand jury. It should have been dismissed from the get-go, right out of the gate, based on the evidence. But he said they forced them to go to a grand jury because of the racial overtones and the threats by Obama and Holder. And then he said, listen to clip 7, and you'll hear what Rudy Giuliani had to say about this.
There are 7 witnesses who support the police officer's testimony. And when I was listening to the back and forth between the lawyers, what was left out is a key witness, an African-American witness, says that the officer was charged aggressively at the very end.
Right. That was left out. That's not gotten out through the news, that the guys on the front lines didn't see that. CNN was there looking for the peaceful protesters, but they almost got killed looking for them. Okay. Let's move on. There are other topics. Domestically now, there's a tenured lunatic at one of our colleges. You know, I don't know what it is. There used to be a saying, those who can do and those who can't teach. I mean, it's not fair because there are so many great teachers. Unfortunately, in the social sciences, it's 100% true, which is those who can do anything else and those who can't become sociology professors. Well, one of them has come up with a new scheme that the American dream is dead, which I showed to my son, and we just shook our head over Thanksgiving, because my father, his grandfather, was an immigrant who came over in steerage. I worked my whole life, and I always wanted my son to do better than me, and thank God he has. And that's the American dream. But you see, we worked hard, and we're also pretty smart. And we also never quit. That's another thing you got to remember. We never blamed anybody for things that went wrong or go wrong in our life. Ever. We were taught to take responsibility for whatever happened to us, no matter how bad. And if it just got worse, it's too damn bad. You just went on. So this so-called professor now comes up with a new thing, that there's no American dream. Listen to clips 15 and 16 first. Let's hear them.
America has no higher rate of social mobility than medieval England or pre-industrial Sweden. That's the most difficult part about talking about social mobility, is because it is shattering people's dreams. Oh, my students always argue with me. But I think the thing that they find very hard to accept is the idea that much of their lives can be predicted from their lineage and their ancestry.
Now, I would ask the good professor, has he gone beyond his own father? Because I can detect a slight tinge of an accent in that speech of his. And I would suspect that he's an immigrant, and with the academic welfare system that exists, where they give people like him $100,000, $150,000 a year to do nothing but brainwash our children, he's done better than his dad. I don't know where he comes from or what his name is. We'll have to look it up for tomorrow. But my expectation is that the so-called UC Davis economics professor, which is a joke unto itself, because everyone I've ever known who taught economics dreamed they could be a businessman, but couldn't. Who would be an economics professor if they knew anything about economics? Wouldn't they go out and start up a company and make some money? I mean, think about that. You know, you look around and be on the face of it, this is ludicrous. If you say, okay, look, I'm a trained statistician, so he says, let's start with this first argument. America has no higher rate of social mobility than medieval England, right? Well, what he's including in that basket of data are new waves of immigrants who come here with nothing. And so he does an average, and he comes up with such a stupid statement. But it doesn't hold true. Let's look around at some notable examples. Would you say that Barack Obama has done better than his father, who died an alcoholic in Kenya? Yes. Would you say that Eric Holder has done better than his father? Probably. I don't know his father's history. Would you say that Oprah Winfrey has done better than her father and mother? Yes, I would think so. I don't know that they had a television empire, but I assume it could only happen here. Yes, so therefore their social mobility. Would you say that 99% of the college professors teaching such rubbish have done better than their ancestors? Yes. Go on and on. Just look around you. I take particular front at this because I've worked so hard for what I have. No one gave it to me. And I continue to get up every day, brush my teeth, comb my hair, lift my weights, take my vitamins, ride my bicycle, pet my dog, do show preparation. I do a great show, the best show possible, every day, and no one's handing it to me. I'm not a college teacher. I live and die every day based on my show. It's unlike college, where they can produce the worst rubbish of a lecture and there are no consequences because they have tenure. as a result of the taxpayers and a soft government situation such as this. But, you know, I got to get a paper for you. I'm trying to reach across the studio and not lose control of the microphone. I'm reaching. It's all the way on the other side of the radio studio here. Got it. I want to show you what happened to a great American man, one of the greatest of our scientists, because of the political insanity that we're living through. Hold on now. Just the rest of it. No, here it is. This is the creeping communism in our country and what it's doing to people. James Watson is a Nobel laureate. When I was a youngster in college, he was the equivalent of God. He was the Einstein of biology. It was Watson and Crick. He's a co-discoverer of DNA. He's the real McCoy. Well, way back when, I think it was in the 19... I don't have the exact date. It wasn't too long ago. I'm trying to find the date. In the 70s, I think. He wrote that there is some... He said some anti-Semitism is justified. And then he talked about the difference in people and their intelligence. As a result of it, they took one of our great American scientists and fired him from Cold Spring, he was in a great laboratory, Cold Spring Harbor, I think, and they fired him. And I'll read you what he actually said. The man is now broke, years later, he's still living, and he's having to sell his Nobel Prize at auction in order to raise money to survive, because he was excommunicated by the left wing in this country. So tell me where the equality is. Now, what did Nobel laureate James Watson actually say to have justified him being thrown out of work? Remember who he is now. He's not an ordinary idiotic professor like this one I just played. He actually did something. He was a co-discoverer of the structure of DNA and a Nobel Prize winner. But he dared say something about anti-Semitism. Well, the ADL, which wouldn't come to my aid at all, they're nothing but a self-aggrandizing, self-serving organization in my estimation, went after Dr. Watson tooth and claw and called his remarks about Jews disturbing. And then Watson, who was 78 at the time, I think, in Cold Spring Harbor, wrote that anti-Semitism is in some circumstances justified. But listen to what he said. In an interview with the magazine, Watson asks rhetorically, should you be allowed to make an anti-Semitic remark? He answered, yes, because some anti-Semitism is justified, just like some anti-Irish feeling is justified. If you can't be criticized, that's very dangerous. You lose the concept of a free society. Apparently a firm believer in eugenics, Watson also feels, quote, and I'm quoting now, Ashkenazi Jews, those are Jews descended from the medieval Jewish communities in the area of Germany, have higher intelligence than other people. And he's not Jewish, by the way. He said, I've wondered why people aren't more intelligent, Watson asks. Why isn't everyone as intelligent as Ashkenazi Jews? And it may be that societies work best when there's a mixture of ability. The bright people would never be an army, close quote. And so it went on from there. And then the media jumped on him and went crazy on the rest of what he said. And what he said, he went after President Bush, by the way. And he couldn't stand Bush. He couldn't stand Bill Frist. He called them rich trash. And he said that rich trash like Bush and Frist have used their money to buy the presidency. And then he went on and he hated him. And then he said he turned on the left wing, that his own politics had evolved from the left to libertarianism, said Watson. He said he turned against the left wing because they don't like genetics, because genetics implies that sometimes in life we fail because we have had bad genes. You hear this? He said so many other things about racial and genetic stereotyping, about relative intelligences, the relative intelligence of various races and peoples, that did not fit or sit very well with the radical left and the media and the civil rights class. And he went on to say certain things about Jews and blacks that cost him his job. And remember who he is, one of our great American scientists. Well, now he's so broke that he's having to sell his Nobel medal. That's America circa 2014. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
It turns out government policies don't seem to have any effect on the rate of social mobility. That's why, as I say, medieval England had rates of social mobility just as high as those in modern America.
So here's a Scottish immigrant, this guy, this professor, whatever the hell his name is, I don't know, here it is, something, Greg Clark, UC Davis. Suddenly the moron comes up with the American dream is dead. So what did he come here for? Why didn't he stay a coal miner in Scotland? It makes no sense. He said his grandfathers came from Ireland to work in the coal mines and steel mills of the Clyde Valley in Scotland as part of the great diaspora of the Irish, triggered by Ireland's failure to industrialize in the 19th century. So his own ancestors moved on for social mobility. But this idiot, who moved way beyond his coal miner grandfather, doesn't think he moved beyond his coal miner grandfather because he's sitting and studying data and talking to other idiots. But it's worse than that. He had a degree from King's College, Cambridge, and Harvard. And then he taught at Stanford and Michigan. That explains it all. These are closed circuits of microcephalic intellectuals who don't know what the real world is. And so they come up with this crap. It gets our attention for a few days. And it's very good radio. There's no social mobility. None whatsoever. Tell that to the millions of dreamers that there's no social mobility. There's no social mobility at all. Doesn't exist. But Obama says there is social mobility, which is why he's bringing immigrants in from Latin America. Because there's social mobility. They can do better here than they can in their despotic homelands of Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, right? What are they coming here for? Because it's no good? I don't understand how anybody like this keeps tenure. Are there no standards anymore? None whatsoever? Listen to clip number 17 now. Let's hear this one.
If you look at the population as a whole, we see tremendous continuity generation after generation in people's status.
We'll do this another day. I had enough of him. If you look at him, and I don't want to get, you know, negative on his looks, but there's something that looks like he was a guy who couldn't get a date, pockmarked face, acne probably turned him into a social outcast. He looks like Jerry Lewis in the Nutty Professor. It's shocking. If you look at the pictures from the London newspaper, he's a twin for Jerry Lewis and the Nutty Professor. That will be heard tomorrow on the Limbaugh Show, probably within the first hour, I would guess. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back to take your calls on these and other topics.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation Monday edition. We're watching the deterioration of race relations in the nation on an unprecedented scale since the 1960s, and it's all because of the administration. They have been pushing this and pushing this and pushing this through the summer. They were egging on the mobs. They were meeting with these goon squads, having them in the White House saying, stay the course. What did that mean? Day after the election, Obama meets with one of the commie leaders of the protest movement from Ferguson, one of the illegitimate, and says to him, stay the course. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is he wants unrest in the streets. He wants the police deballed. He wants them turned into capons. You don't know this, but Obama met today with that vile Al Sharpton and other so-called civil rights leaders, and he came away with this. He wants to spend almost a third, how much? $263 million. His answer, again, is to tax people to death, to increase the use of body cameras by police. Now, which one of his friends make the body cameras, I wonder? Which one of his friends is going to hold the training on how to use the body cameras? But that's not all. Your president also plans to sign a new executive order to create a so-called task force on 21st century policing. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, a task force on 21st century policing? Tell me what that means. What they're doing is they're trying to constrain the wolfhounds so the wolves can continue to burn and to loot. It's getting worse by the day. I wish I didn't have to say this to you, but we are not through the woods yet. Yes, we went to the polls and voted, but this hard-lined revolutionary communist regime treated the election as though it occurred in another country. You know, this revolutionary talk has now reached every level of society. The hatred that Obama and Holder and Sharpton and the rest of them have wrought has now filtered down to everybody in this society. They kept it alive. They magnified it. They threw lighter fuel on the fire, and they won't let it go. It was a time of love and a time of hate. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down.
When we die and they die, then soon we're going to sit at a table and talk about retired. We want some of this earth, or we'll tear this goddamn country up. And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round. You won the first round, Mr. Prosecutor, but don't cut your gloves off. Because the fight's not over. Justice will come to Ferguson.
The only day justice will come to Ferguson is when haters like he are shut off from the microphones of hate. Welcome to the Savage Nation. America is talking about the hate in the streets being generated by the White House, the Justice Department, and the Communist Party USA. Make no mistake about it. This has been orchestrated from the get-go. And these haters, like Farrakhan and Sharpton, are cashing in on it by stirring up the masses. And that's why I wrote this little couplet for you. It was a time of love and a time of hate. I began with a love song. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down. I've been waiting for this show for 4 days now. It's not to say I don't like time off, but truthfully, I don't think I'll ever take another day off as long as I'm on the radio. I mean, I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, but everyone knows what happens around Thanksgiving. You can't wait to go back to work on Monday. Now, I'm not saying anything here, but I'm saying that this thing with the Ferguson is ripping this family called America to pieces. And the very same gutter rat, Al Sharpton, seems to be at the center of it all. This gutter rat, Al Sharpton, who should have been arrested a long time ago just for his role in the Tawana Brawley case, stiffing the IRS, egging the crowd on in the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire. This man has gotten away with virtual arson and murder, in my opinion. And yet he's been rewarded. And now he's being rewarded again and again and again. And so I ask you, how much longer can this country take such hatred? How much longer can this country go on with this level of hatred? So I pulled a bunch of stories over the weekend, and I'm going to read you the headlines of the stories that caught my attention, that I noted down, and you can comment on some of these if you have a good comment. Here are the stories that caught my eye. I'll just give you the headlines over the weekend. Here it is. How Obama Blatantly Disregards the Law, by Paul Sperry of the New York Post. Next one was CNN is lying when they say Ferguson protests were peaceful. Naomi Schaefer Riley, New York Post. Justice's Way limits of free speech over the internet. MyWay.com. Mind control from the leftists. All whites are really racist, even if they're not racist. That's right. The white college professor communists on tenure have now come up with a new one. First, they invented a thing called white privilege to make their white children feel guilty. Now they've invented a new one saying there's racism without racists. In other words, even if you're not a racist, you're guilty anyway. See, what that is, it's called mind control. Read Animal Farm. Read Brave New World. Here's a headline for Obama and the Pentagon, an uneasy relationship. It was an interesting article from the Associated Press. I rewrote the headline as Obama micromanages like a true Marxist, which he does. He has centralized power to the extent that he's alienated everyone in the Pentagon. And he's gotten rid of all of the higher-ranking officers, knowing that they would probably stand up to him. And knowing, like any good dictator, like whether it was an ancient Roman dictator or others, who purged their own military, or Hitler who purged the military, or Stalin who purged the Russian military. He knows to get rid of those generals who might stand up. And I think he's getting ready for things you can't even imagine. You think that Obama is through because he just got smashed at the polling booths. You think he's giving up. I'm warning you that this man is just warming up for the final assault on every one of our freedoms and institutions in this country. He is the most dangerous, divisive man in American history. I don't think we've ever faced a foreign enemy who has done as much damage to the social fabric as this country, as this man in the White House. That's my opinion. And it's only just begun. Here's an article from McClatchy News Services, not known to be a liberal outlet. It says, Obama unleashed, defies GOP election wins, moves in opposite direction. Even the liberals at AP and McClatchy are starting to see a little pattern here. Here's another one for those of you into fiscal things. Ponzi scheme. Treasury issues $1 trillion in new debt in 8 weeks to pay old debt. CNS News. Did you hear that one? They issued $1 trillion in new debt in 8 weeks to pay off the old debt in order to keep the welfare machine going. Here's another one from Newsmax. Republican lawmaker's aide draws ire for scolding Obama's daughters. She wrote a post telling the girls to try to show a little class, at least respect the part you play. And she put it on her Facebook account, and she said the daughters looked bored while attending a public event with their father on Wednesday. And as a result, the Republican lawmaker's aide was fired. Now, what about all of the slimy comments about Sarah Palin and Sarah Palin's children? What about the slimy comments about Bush's daughters? Apparently, that didn't result in anyone getting fired. Instead, they got jobs on MSNBC. Here's another headline I found interesting. Russian doctor rebellion causes headache for Putin. That's an interesting story. And it's tied right into the welfare state. And they talk about a doctor who spent a decade in medical research in Russia and then another 10 years in the United States working at top hospitals and research companies. But despite his expertise, the doctor was given an ultimatum from the Moscow hospital where he works. Either leave the hospital or stay on as a lowly hospital attendant. Why are they eliminating doctors in Russia? It's part of a reform in which at least 28 Moscow hospitals are to be closed and up to 10,000 medical staff fired, an overhaul that officials said is needed to modernize a decrepit Soviet-era health system. What is this about? It means that there were too many doctors hired in the old Soviet communist system. Does it sound familiar now with a bloated federal government? The difference is in Russia, they're actually shrinking some of the federal programs, while the con man in the White House is actually increasing them. This story caught my eye. UC Davis economics professor says there is no American dream. Tell that to the lunatic who wrote this himself. I guarantee you he's gone beyond his father. And I can tell you this, I am the American dream. I am an immigrant son. My father came over here in steerage. He died young. My grandfather died young. I've risen to where I am by working since I'm 6 years old, and my son has exceeded me by working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So don't tell me there's no American dream. If you don't have the American dream, don't blame somebody else. The Obamas laid the groundwork for Ferguson. You look back on this entire campaign, and you will see the president's hands on every step of the way. They could have stopped this months ago, but they didn't stop the outside agitators. They told the National Guard to stand down and let the city burn down because they were afraid the National Guardsmen would be arrested by Eric Holder, who would say that they committed a racist act by stopping the burning and the looting. You see, this federal government wants these troubles. The federal government is planning things you could hardly imagine. Many people see who they are. Many people know that they're hardline communist revolutionaries who have been intent for years on bringing about what they have currently achieved in this nation, which is race against race, sex against sex, person against person, religion against religion, and they've only just gotten started. This is the Savage Nation. I had hoped to turn this into an all-love show, but unfortunately, it was a time of love and a time of hate. It was a time of hope and a time of regret. It was a time of war and a time of peace. There were those trying to bring the nation together and those trying to burn it all down. And on that note, I'll take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. What a weekend of news. Well, I hope you survived your family time because everyone has tension around family time, as you well know. You're not alone. If being compressed in a room eating the bird, you had to eat some bird. because everybody has to eat some crow around Thanksgiving and keep it to yourself, the stuff you really say about your relatives. So I hope it wasn't too traumatic. Thank God for family, because without it, all we'd have is ourselves, right? Here are the news headlines from MichaelSavage.com and around the world. Ferguson protesters say the only solution is a communist revolution. And you thought it was about the gentle giant being shot by the policeman? Are you crazy? These are hardline communists who've been fomenting these riots. And you can thank your president and attorney general for keeping it alive. But it gets worse if you want to see how bad liberalism really is. Farrakhan has threatened to tear this G-damned country apart. And he says to his flock, teach your baby how to throw Molotov cocktails. He said, we're going to die anyway. Let's die for something. There is a First Amendment, but it's limited to not starting a fire in a crowded movie theater or even yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. Farrakhan needs to be stopped, but who's going to stop him? The government that started him? Meanwhile, the communist pope, the pope says it's wrong to equate Islam with violence. He says it's a result of poverty. I swear to God, he's using the classic liberal line, saying that Islamic terrorism is related to poverty. Hello, Mr. Pope. They've been at it for 1,000 years, long before you were a glint in Karl Marx's eye, way back there in South America. Yes, the old Muslims have been committing violence for 1,000 years as they try to convert the world to Islam. So don't tell me it's about poverty, Mr. Pope. Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. CNN is lying when they say Ferguson protests were peaceful. Meanwhile, the justices are weighing limits of free speech over the internet. That's a big story. Mind control from the leftists, where they say all whites are really racists, even if they're not racist. Their new line is they're racist without racism. I swear to God, that's the new line coming out of CNN. Obama is micromanaging the Pentagon to the extent that nobody will take the job as head of the Pentagon. What other stories are out there? Well, all you got to do is go to MichaelSavage.com and see the rest, such as a UC Davis economics professor says there is no American dream. Well, there's a loser, another loser on tenure. Another one. Your friends, the Islamo-terrorists, are plotting to blow up 5 European passenger jets in a Christmas spectacular, but the paralyzed British do absolutely nothing. Let me read you something on a final note that was written by a blogger where he says the English should apologize to the Irish. Listen carefully. He writes this. A message to the Catholics of Northern Ireland. During the Troubles, we interned you without trial, subjected you to harsh interrogation techniques, and raided your homes. We also abridged your civil rights, having trials in front of a single judge in secret. We closely monitored you and restricted your movements, and we certainly did not tolerate open speeches supporting the IRA cause. The organizers were all rounded up and detained indefinitely. The IRA was largely made ineffective because of informers who had grown weary of bloodshed with no end in sight. Please accept my apologies. England faces a worse enemy with Islam, yet we give them all the benefits that were denied you, the Irish. These new terrorists and their supporters enjoy a wall of silence from their own community and inaction from the government and police because of fear. No one comes forward to help the authorities prevent mass calamity. Their leaders speak openly of hate in the street, and we do nothing. Furthermore, where you endured anti-Irish jokes constantly, we dare not say a word against them, as it is considered racism, and we do go to jail. They are left untouched if they do the same to us. We are even afraid to come forward upon seeing something suspicious, also because of the fear of being called a racist. By comparison, the Irish people were treated appallingly. Can you imagine in 1973 protesting openly saying, kill all those that are against the IRA? Yet our new Muslim enemies sport banners beheading all those that insult Islam, and they protest when we bury our fallen soldiers. Nothing happens to them. You, the Irish, would have been in jail. This war can never be won. We have become a nation of sheeple, with a government of wolves, unafraid of us, the law-abiding. They have strangled us with liberal values of political correctness, yet they themselves are impotent and weak in front of a real enemy. More interested in the bogus threat of climate change. England is dead. That was a blog posted on the article, the Muslims are planning to blow up 5 passenger jets for Christmas. Have a nice day, and God bless America from the Savage Nation.
Savage.